You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. On the line with me is Persephone in Europe. What we're going to talk about now is a New York Times story headlined, Students Joining Battle to Upend Laws on Voter ID. The New York Times published this on July 5th, and it says, joining a challenge to a state law alongside the NAACP, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the Justice Department, lawyers for 7 college students and 3 voter registration advocates are making the novel constitutional argument that the law violates the 26th Amendment, which lowered the voting age to 18 from 21. The amendment also declares the right to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of age. So they're saying that these North Carolina student ID laws don't just discriminate, you know, on equal protection grounds to African Americans, Hispanics, low-income voters, etc., which we've talked about a lot. And we've also said that it makes it hard for college students to get it, but this is the first time where anyone's explicitly said, hey, we're pretty sure that this voter ID law is unconstitutional under the 26th Amendment, the one affecting voting age, and specifically the provision about states not being able to discriminate or deny right to vote based on age. And apparently there's never been a case involving the 26th Amendment. This was the one that came into effect in 1971 during the Vietnam War. There's never been any case sent to through the federal court system, or at least to the Supreme Court, as far as I could find and as far as this article mentioned, where someone challenged something, a law on the 26th Amendment grounds, because typically no states have explicitly tried to circumvent this. However, a lot of these voter ID laws and various things have been alleged to affect students and seem to target them pretty heavily. Now, previously, the Supreme Court in other amendments, based on other amendments, has ruled that students have the right to vote in the area where they're going to college, right? Even if they're not a permanent resident, they're a resident for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in a place, and they, as long as they're not voting in 2 locations, they're a part of that local economy and so on and so forth. They're contributing taxes potentially if they have a job there. So in many respects, they're a part of that community. They should be able to vote. Again, can't vote in multiple locations, but should be able to vote where they go to school. Now, some states have taken this at face value and just said, okay, yeah, as long as you're not voting somewhere else, you can vote here, you can register to vote here, and you can cast ballots here. And other states have made it a lot more complicated, and some of them have said, oh, you need to have a valid student ID in the state. The article mentions that the state of Maine, for example, had told all students that if they were registered to vote in Maine, they had to have their car registered in Maine, as opposed to being registered in their home state, even though they don't have to be permanent residents for the purposes of voting as college students in a location. When I was in Delaware, I registered to vote before I became a permanent resident of the state of Delaware. I registered there, and I did not vote in any Massachusetts elections during that time. I wasn't casting votes in 2 places. And then I eventually did become a resident of Delaware. But this is, different states have different approaches, and this is saying, this lawsuit is saying that this North Carolina law, like some of these other voter ID laws, is discriminatory under the 26th Amendment because it makes it explicitly hard to vote. Now, there's various people in this article saying this challenge probably isn't going to work because you're not being denied from registering to vote and casting absentee ballots back home. It's just making it difficult to vote in your local jurisdiction. But again, the Supreme Court had previously said you could vote where your college is based as long as you were only voting there. Persephone, what was your take on this story?
I thought it was very interesting. First of all, I thought it was incredible that this has never come up before. And I think it's also interesting when compared to all the different methods that have been used to restrict voting in the past. Obviously, the most well-known of these are things like the literacy tests and the grandfather clauses that were used to restrict Black voting in a lot of states. And what ended up happening there is that it was determined that this was just a de facto way to violate the right of Black citizens to vote. So it'll be interesting to see if that same logic is used here. Although there is an argument that there are tons of college students that are older, and so maybe people will try to use that as like, well, it's not explicitly targeting young people because lots of people go to college. But I think that really the argument that this is targeting young voters is correct. I mean, let's be real. If we're looking at this in terms of who benefits, you know, young voters tend to vote more liberal, and there's also the problem of, for more conservative states, of these younger liberal voters coming in and voting against the Republican Party. So they benefit very much from restricting these kids from voting.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of major colleges and universities, you know, UNC Chapel Hill, Duke, the colleges out in Asheville, various places like that, all around the state, there's these sort of somewhat urban centers where there's a lot of people besides students that have moved into the state who lean more Democratic. But in particular, this adds, you know, maybe 1 or 2%. And in a state like North Carolina, I mean, look at the outcome, I think, in both 2012 and 2008, if I remember correctly, and definitely in 2008 for sure. Those were very close margins, you know, in the presidential election where 1 or 2% made the difference, maybe even less than 1%. So any kind of way of tamping that down and also preventing them from being involved in the various protests against the governor of North Carolina and the anti-gay laws and the anti-abortion laws and things like that. A lot of the students have been involved in those, although they're not, you know, the pure driving force. This is a way of kind of shaving off some of their power and ability to participate. And again, even if you buy the argument that voter IDs and photo IDs specifically should be necessary to vote, it's not like they, you know, if I were trying to vote in North Carolina, if I were going to college there, right, I can't walk in with a Delaware ID or a Massachusetts ID and be like, hey, I'm here to vote, I'm registered to vote, like, accept my other state's ID for this, because then they're going to be like, oh, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And this is saying, yeah, you can vote in there. The Supreme Court has said that you can vote in those elections. And if you impose a state voter ID, state photo voter ID rule, that is an abridgment of that right. And it specifically is targeting that one anomalous population of people who are allowed to vote in the state without being permanent residents. You know, it's very rare that you get that you're able to do that. And I hope that they're going to make that argument convincingly, because a lot of people quoted in the article say they really don't think this challenge is going to work. But if it's true, if it's still true that college students can vote in the local places that they are going to be spending 4 years or whatever, even when they're not permanent residents and may have no intention of becoming permanent residents, although I think that voting and that kind of thing and participation makes you a lot more likely to stick around. If that's still the case that you can vote there, then you've got to make it possible to vote with some other form of identification or something. When I was in Delaware, before I had my Delaware driver's license, before I was a permanent resident, I typically used my university ID. And I didn't even necessarily need to do that because Delaware didn't have a photo ID law. But it, you know, it had my name on it, it had my photo. It was related to Delaware because it said University of Delaware on it, but it wasn't like a valid legal ID. And I think that something that simple should be admissible. Right, I don't think that there's any reason to say that it should be, you know, and they have the obnoxious quote from Governor McCrory in this thing. He says, while some will try to make this seem controversial, the simple reality is that requiring voters to provide a photo ID when they vote is a common sense idea. You know, it's really not that common sense of an idea. There's really not a voter fraud problem in this country. There used to be. I will grant you that. There used to be rampant voter fraud happening in this country, but that has not been a problem for a long time. There have been repeated studies by academics and official legal findings by federal judges and by state judges in states all over the country that found that there is not an illegal voting and voter fraud problem in this country. You are more likely to get struck by lightning than to find an instance of voter fraud. The situation is not so dire as they're making it out to be. And it is controversial to ask someone to provide a voter ID. Recently, I had to go to the Registry of Motor Vehicles in Massachusetts. This is known as the DMV in most states. And there were very long lines, as there usually are at these things. You know, you had to wait like 40 minutes or so, whatever, minimum. Some people were having to wait a lot longer than that. Some people had to keep going through the different lines and that sort of thing. And they aren't open on the weekends. So you can't go on the weekends to get, you know, a legal state ID, even if it's not a driver's license or whatever. You have to pay $50 to convert from out of state. You have to pay like $100 if it's like a new ID thing. I know it's less if it's just a non-driver's ID. But imagine if you had a law that said you have to get a valid ID to be able to vote in this. It's got to be a state photo ID. Now you've got to take time off of work to go in during the day because they're not even open in the evening. You got to go in before 5 o'clock to go get your, you know, take all this time off to be able to go get a photo ID so that you can then go vote in an election that you may also have to take time off to go to because they don't make it easy in most of these states to vote early or to vote not on a Tuesday. Some states are getting better about that, but it's a whole big process. And I don't think people understand. It's like not everyone can take off time from work to go do that. It's not that easy. And then you're not even getting into the issue of people who then move their address around, like students or low-income people who move a lot more and may have a different address this year than they did last year when they got the ID. And they don't, you know, if I were in Delaware, you know, I'd have to pay to change my license, update my license. I'd have to pay like at least $20, if not more, to get my ID updated. So now you're asking me to do that. And I mean, it's like, this is just imposing all these absurd barriers and hoops that you have to jump through to deal with something that's not a real problem. And then on top of that, you're trying to then justify it by openly saying, you know, this is a common sense idea because it should require work to vote. It should be difficult to vote. Voting is a privilege, not a right, which is contradictory to basically everything in the past 50 years that says, no, in fact, this is an actual right, not a privilege, and can't be denied to people based on various factors about them. And it should be possible to participate in the electoral system without having to jump through all these hoops when there's not this rampant problem of dead people voting or people voting in wrong jurisdictions.
To respond to an earlier point that you made, Bill, I also think it's important to note that, you know, for instance, I find myself sympathizing with the idea that, well, maybe, you know, since students aren't permanent residents, they shouldn't be able to vote. But that's not the issue here. And I think that making it about that issue, that has been established. It is okay for students to vote in the states where they are. And so once you have that as a given, you really can't do all these restrictions because you're taking away this right. And so, you know, I think it's easy to understand that position of college students who don't necessarily understand what the place is like, that don't necessarily have a good understanding of the history of a given state. You can understand that, but then you have to just accept that that battle has already been fought, and now this is something else, and you have to make sure that these students are able to exercise the right that they have to vote in the state.
Right, and that's where it becomes a 26th Amendment challenge, you know, as we're discussing with this article.
Yeah, and I also think it would be interesting to consider, along the lines of what you were discussing in terms of should voting be difficult, I think it's also worth considering the idea of mandatory voting, which is something that, where I am now, I'm living in Belgium, they have mandatory voting, and the participation is extremely high for obvious reasons, although there's still around 5 to 10% of the population that just decides to accept a fine and not vote. And I think that approach is interesting because it really does guarantee that people are getting their right to vote. Because once it becomes mandatory, the government has to start taking actions to enable voting and to facilitate voting instead of setting up obstacles. Of course, there is the argument that in the United States, this would have the opposite effect, where these barriers would remain, and then it would be used to punish people that are unable to register to vote because of these barriers.
Right, that they probably wouldn't move the voting day, they wouldn't, or at least make, you know, early voting available, things like that. Same day registration, I mean, that's something that just came up in Delaware this year, and again, passed through one chamber and then didn't really, I don't think it really went anywhere after that. I mean, this is something that comes up periodically. You know, same day registration, you know, it's not opening the door for massive fraud. Same day registration just makes it a lot easier to say, this is where I live now, not where I lived last year or 5 years ago or whatever, because some of these licenses don't, they get renewed automatically 5 years, 10 years, something like that, or 8 years in some places. And you say, this is where I live now. This is the community that I'm part of. This is where I contribute. This is where I work. This is where I pay taxes, things like that. And, you know, I'd like to have a say in this. And then you say, okay, here's where I register to vote. And I go vote there and I'm all set. I think that it should be easier to vote. I know some people don't agree with that, but a system that favors only homeowners or whatever, I mean, that's a really discriminatory system. It should be based on where you are now and that you're contributing, you know, member of society in that community. That's where you should be able to participate. And college students really, I mean, they do drive a lot of economic activity around colleges, especially in college towns. You know, the University of Delaware, for example, some people who are from Newark don't really like to admit this, but the University of Delaware is the main driver of the Newark economy at this point and the greater Newark economy in Delaware, you know, with all the factory closings that happened. And that means that you're then effectively saying, okay, well, even though this is all going to depend on what the University of Delaware does and what its student bodies do, we're going to not let them participate in the voting. I mean, most, again, it's very rare that most of these students do participate, but I think that that would, you know, it'd be better if more of them did participate locally, because it is a big part of the economy and it is going to affect a lot of things. And they should have a say in that, even if they're only going to be there for a few years. I mean, you know, potentially they're going to turn into alumni donors and things like that. There's going to be a radiating impact from them being there even for a few years. And, you know, they should have some level of input. And that's not by any means restricted. That's just the example that I happen to know the most about, obviously. But this is something that comes up in many places. And it would certainly be better, I think, if people had more ability to participate. And it would also give them more, you know, rooted feeling and being able to, you know, be feel welcomed and that kind of thing. And potentially then they might stay in the communities. Again, I don't know if some people maybe don't want that, but that's another issue. It's already been established that they can vote there. And as long as that's true, you can't be then making it difficult for that population to vote, because that's discrimination under the 26th Amendment. Persephone, thank you so much for joining me here on Arsenal for Democracy.
Great to be here.
Arsenal for Democracy will be right back in just a moment.